To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome once again to the official Disneyland Resort podcast, a unique look at the magical moments and events here at the place where dreams come true. Join us each month as we celebrate the Year of a Million Dreams with a behind-the-scenes look at what's new and exciting here at the Disneyland Resort. And now, here is your host, Michael Gohagan.
Summer is a magical time here at the Disneyland Resort. And this summer, as part of the Year of a Million Dreams, the resort is celebrating the opening of two imaginative and immersive attractions, Toy Story Mania at Disney's California Adventure and the Innoventions Dream Home at Disneyland Park. In this edition of the official Disneyland Resort podcast, we'll go behind the scenes to check out these new attractions and talk with the people who brought them to life for our guests. We'll even get some insider tips on how to shoot your way to the top score with Woody and Buzz at Toy Story Mania. We'll also find out what it's like to be a reporter who covers a major new attraction opening at the Disneyland Resort.
Hurry, hurry, hurry! Right this way to Toy Story Midway Mania! It's a ride that's a game. It's a game that's a ride. Step right up and see what's inside.
It was really, really fun. I liked being able to shoot the gun and shoot the different target. It was really exciting because, you know, I feel like I could go on it again and again and it wouldn't be the same thing.
As you can tell, guests are having a lot of fun with Toy Story Mania, which is now open both here at Disney's California Adventure and at the Walt Disney World Resort in Florida. This attraction was inspired by the blockbuster Disney Pixar films Toy Story and Toy Story 2, bringing together the creative minds from Pixar Animation Studios and Walt Disney Imagineering. On this Carnival Midway game, everybody gets a front row seat. They put on 3D glasses and then shrink to the size of a toy. That brings them into the world of Buzz Lightyear, Woody, and all their Toy Story friends, ready to test their skills on the Midway games. What makes it so much fun is that it challenges everybody, from beginners to today's gaming experts. It's their gameplay that triggers all the surprises that provide a fourth dimension of fun. That's why it's called a 4D attraction. 4D is a new hallmark for Disney Imagineering, and two Imagineers who are leading the way are Chrissy Allen and Kevin Rafferty. They created this supersized video game, along with the giant Mr. Potato Head who greets guests as they enter Toy Story Mania. We talked with Chrissy and Kevin about their special mix of technical wizardry and Disney storytelling. Well, tell me, from a guest perspective, what can they expect to experience with Toy Story Mania?
Well, the guests can experience, be able to shrink to the size of a toy and experience the next generation interactive ride game experience for the whole family. You know what? It's going to be visual overload. When they go into this attraction, there's characters all over the place. There's targets, there's games, there's interactivity galore. It's 3D, it's 4D. It's mania.
Well, now, what happens? Because you're sitting in the ride car. And you've got a what's it called, a spring action shooter?
Oh, come on now. You're sitting in the carnival tram that has your spring action shooter on it. And your spring action shooter allows you to play the Midway games with all of the Toy Story characters. So, for example, it's a very special spring action shooter because sometimes it shoots pies, and sometimes it shoots darts, and sometimes it launches rings, and so on. So it is magical, and depending on which booth you're in, it fires different things for you.
Let me add one more thing to that, is what they can really expect to see is the trajectory of the objects that they're firing. As Chrissy just mentioned, you know, in one game, you know, you fire a ring out, and you can see the ring launch out of your spring action shooter and follow its trajectory. And the great thing about the spring action shooters is they never run empty. You can just keep pulling this ring and go, 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 go.
Well, I noticed this is an attraction, too, that riding it more than once certainly helps, because you start to get a little bit of a feel for how to aim and how to shoot.
Well, you know, when we developed the ride, we worked a lot with guests first. You know, interactive attractions, we bring the guests in from the day one, and we have them test the different spring action shooters, and we have them test the different games. They tested targets. They tested the way the games were laid out. They did all of that. So what you see in the attraction is the best of the best, the parts that they really enjoyed and the parts that they found doable. One example would be the Buzz Lightyear and the Little Green Men. Their ring toss was the hardest game we ever tested, bar none. And every time they would come in, they would say, that game is really hard. We'd say, well, would you want it? Delete it. No, don't delete it. It's really hard, but we really like it. And so what you learn from that is they like to be challenged. So every one of those games, you can play it simply, you can play it at an intermediate level, and when you get really good, you can play it at the advanced level, because as you observe yourself playing and whoever you're playing with, you're going to uncover the surprises that we've built through every single one of those games, so that every time you come back, it could be slightly different.
By the way, the ring toss at a regular midway is one of the hardest games, so it's no different here. And you know, there's lots of challenges that, you know, it's very repeatable. Guess every time they go back in, they're going to see something different. They're going to get a different score. But back to the playtesting for just a second, I just wanted to add one note. One of the learnings that we had is we playtested guests from ages 3 to 103. You know, everybody played. And one of the things that we discovered was the kids from ages, like 4 to 6 were reluctant to throw the baseballs out and break the plates in the Green Army Men Shoot Camp because they're taught not to break things, right? To us, it's very satisfying to break those plates. So we actually had the voice of the sergeant come back into our studio and record the line where he says, I am not your mother. You have permission to break these plates. And after that, they went crazy.
Well, now, one of the things, how do you explain the visual experience? Because I think until you've seen it, it's kind of even hard to conceptualize.
Well, you know, it's not just 3D, it's 4D. So when you put on your 3D game glasses and you get shrunk to the size of a toy and you go into these carnival booths where the characters are there waiting for you to play, the 3D glasses, the 3D environment allows you just to practically step into the world. The world is built physically as though it could be built in the human world, in the real world. And so everything behaves like that. And in 3D, the characters are rendered that way. It feels like you're actually in the Toy Story characters' world.
We wanted a very dimensional look for the attraction, and you know, 3D was part of that. One of the rules we had up front in designing and developing the attraction is we did not want the gameplay to appear to be like a video game. We wanted it to be very dimensional. You know, no magic numbers appearing, nothing like that. So we established a series of rules that said it has to look absolutely real. That's why the games look very mechanical. They look like they could be wind-up or battery-operated things from the carnival playset that the toys themselves set up and host. And so we wanted it to be totally immersive. You are in Annie's room, and you're playing along with the toys.
But also, it kind of reaches out and grabs you at various times.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of 4D. Well, 3D allows things to come off the screen at you. 4D allows things to actually come off the screen and hit you. So we've actually developed a couple of new special effects for this attraction. And so, you know, you hit that water balloon, you might get wet.
Now, for somebody at home, what's a quick gameplay hint?
Well, I guess my best hint would be moving targets are worth more, smaller targets are worth more, but also don't forget to look down below because sometimes the high-value targets are closer than you think.
For example, in the Bo Peep's Balloon Pop game, when you hit one of the flower balloons and pop the flower balloon, it will release a balloon B, and a balloon B will come up, and that will raise your score. It's worth more points. So the thing to look for are targets that release other little surprises and things that you see along the way that actually count for more score.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Hey, no problem. Go have a good ride this afternoon.
Yeah, come on over to Midway Mania. You know, take a rollicking ride in our gallery of games. They'll astound you. They'll surround you. Some will even confound you. Our games will test your skill like nothing ever will, as Mr. Potato Head would say.
We also spoke with Estefania Pickens, an Imagineer who spent hours playtesting Toy Story Mania long before it opened to the public. And as you can imagine, with all that practice, she has some tips on how to boost your score.
Well, we're here today for Toy Story Mania, and as I understand, you were integral in kind of some of the gameplay design and testing.
That's right. I worked early on with our rough prototypes. We build something really quick and dirty, and then we have people come in and tell us what they think about it. And so we do this constantly throughout our design process. We make something, we iterate on it, we make something again, and we have people come back and tell us what they think.
So in the beginning, you're testing this like in a stage or at your facility, is that right?
Right, yeah. We have a testing facility. It's in a warehouse across the street, and we build, you know, this rough mock-up out of plywood, and it's really, you know, it's really bare bones, but it works.
Now, once the attraction's built here, what sort of testing is done here, or is your job already done at that point?
Yeah, a lot of what we had done at that point was already finished, but we had to just go through and make sure that everything would work, because we have so many systems that go into making something like this work, because you have to know where the vehicle is, you have to know where the shooters are pointing, you have to have everything talking to each other. So we had to do that, and then once we had that up and running, then we could bring people in and have them ride and then get their feedback.
Well, now, it must be challenging. I rode this last night with my two boys, 4 and 6, and this was a unique experience because I got to play along with them, and we were both having fun, and nobody felt like they were left out.
Yep. My mom turned to me, like, you know, 10 seconds into the game when we were riding, and she goes, "This is fun." I was like, "Yes, Mom, it's fun." She's like, "I didn't think it'd be fun for me."
Well, now, I have to also expect you're probably an expert on helping people improve their score.
Well, yeah, I guess I know a few tips.
Well, what are some of those tips?
Well, okay, I think a lot of it is, so if your goal is, you know, high points, a lot of it is in technique. You want to make sure that you're letting the string go back in and out while you're pulling, and also you just want to pull really fast. Just keep pulling as much as you can. Also, just watch for those high-value targets. Look for small, look for moving ones. Those tend to be worth more.
Well, now, are there some special hidden surprises as well?
Yeah, all the targets kind of behave differently, so you have to ride multiple times to kind of figure out what the different targets are doing. We have some, like you'll hit a low point target, and it'll reveal a hidden target that's worth 5 times as many points. So you want to look for those. And we also have what's called Easter eggs. We have one of those in every game. And those are ones where you have to hit certain targets to sort of like change the scene and reveal a whole bunch of high-value targets.
Now, there was one scene where when we hit 4 or 5 different items, all of a sudden all these balloons started falling, and another one, it looked like a screen door opened or something.
Yeah, that would be an Easter egg.
So now today, when they actually open this attraction to the public, where are you going to be standing and what are you going to be looking for?
Oh, I'll probably be standing at the exit listening to reactions.
It was great. Actually, the whole ride, it was so much fun. It was, you know, it was quick. We got water. You see the confetti flying all over. It was great.
The detail they paid attention to in the building of the ride and everything, just, it's amazing what it looks like and wow.
Oh, I loved it. It's a fun ride for everybody, all ages. It's great.
It was fun. Really, really fun.
Great ride. A lot of fun. Wish I was a better shot.
It was great. It looks like I got a high score from the three of us. Yay!
Outstanding the way they had it. Put you in the game, get you competition against your players here. It was a lot of fun.
Now, guests are just as thrilled about a new attraction over at the Disneyland Park. It's a fun and futuristic experience. And
there's a great big world of inventions shining in our lives in every way. And a great big beautiful tomorrow, 'cause tomorrow's happening today.
That's the song sung by audio animatronic character Tom Morrow, voiced by Nathan Lane, as he welcomes guests to the Inventions building in Tomorrowland. That's the place where guests can visit the all-new Inventions Dream Home. And they're lining up to get in because of all the great new technology. It's got a kitchen helper named Lillian who can talk you through making dinner. It has a magic mirror full of surprises and tons of other amazing technology that simply makes daily family life a lot better. Disneyland Resort worked with technology giants Microsoft, HP, Lifeware, and home builder Taylor Morrison to create this 5,000 square foot technological marvel. Greg Atkins is the show writer and director for Inventions Dream Home. We sat down with Greg to get the story behind the Dream Home and its residents, the fictional Elias family, who have invited guests over for a party celebrating their son Robbie's winning soccer goal, which sends his team to the World Championships.
Tell me a little bit about the idea behind the Inventions Dream Home.
Well, our partners came to us and said, we want to use this cutting-edge, amazing technology here at Disneyland. It made sense that we were going to create a home of the future, similar to the Monsanto concept, but times have changed. And so what we wanted to do was create a dream home, the Inventions Dream Home. And the dream home is not just one person's dream, but a lot of different people's dreams. So when you walk in and you might see a 100-inch big screen, that might be my dream. How great would it be to watch sports on that? Maybe that's not what somebody else is interested in. So we have a lot of different things. Something for the kids, Robbie's Room, which is an immersive theatrical experience that Mrs. Elias walks in, opens a book up, and when she talks to the room, suddenly we're immersed in Peter Pan. We have projections, we have in-room effects, incredibly cool environment for a kid to enjoy, which definitely appeals to the kid and all of us, to going into the daughter's room where she has a magic mirror where all of her clothes in her closet appear in her mirror with the touch of a button through windows. She is able to bring up all of her clothes and her accessories and different hairstyles. They only appear on her. They appear in the mirror. So you can imagine the possibilities of her texting her friends saying, hey, I'm going to wear this dress. Do you want to wear that dress that you have? Also, imagine the shopping potential. We also have memory-making areas. Let's say grandma goes into the dining room and she can go to the surface tables. And we've created, with the help of Tom Zofri, our art director, who has just done an amazing job in the home, as we sit down, there's four surface computers embedded in our dining room table. Once you sit down there, you set down your iPad phone, suddenly all the pictures in your phone spill out. And I can make them larger, smaller. I can have them cover all four of the Surface computers. I make them really small. I can put down another enabled phone and just easily put all of those pictures right into the other phone. So there's no more downloading, uploading, trying to figure out this cord, that cord. It's seamless. Mom's story in the home is, I want it to be simple. It's all about keeping it simple. And what could be more simpler than me setting my phone down? She sets her phone down, all of our pictures spill out, we trade, we pick them up, memories are being made, technology is being shared, and most importantly of all, there needs to be an emotional attachment to everything in the home. That's why the Elias family are having the party for their 10-year-old son, Robbie.
Well, now, how long of a process was it to plan and create this?
I think it took approximately 4 years from when we started to seek partners that wanted to be a part of the Interventions Dream Home. For me, it's been about 2 years writing the scripts, casting, putting the entire concept together. And one of the great things, we've had a team of professionals, Disney and with our partners, that have come together knowing that at Disneyland, story is king. And so everything had to fit to the story. So all the technology in the home, nothing is superfluous. Everything helps tell the story that we want to tell about the Elias family.
Well, how much of a challenge was it to take a 2 to 4 year period and plan ahead so that the technology was cutting edge when the home opened?
I'll tell you a secret. So we were going to open with HP Touch Smarts, amazing computers that you can. There's no mouse. You just touch them. And about a week ago, they said, we have a brand new TouchMart that's going to come out. We said, bring it on. So we're opening 4 days later with brand new technology that no one has seen. They showed it in Germany to the world. Everyone was impressed. We got them the next day. So it can't be more cutting edge. It can't be more current. It can't be more state of the art. That's what we love about the Interventions Dream Home, is that we are going to have and update the most current technology.
What do you hope that the park guest takes away from this experience?
I think a lot of things. One is that I want this to be an immersive theatrical experience, that when they go in, that at no point do they ever feel that they've been sold something, that they've been demoed something, or that they have been giving a line of information to sell or demo something. It should really be they're arriving for a party. They get to play with the cool technology in a friend's home. And at the end of the day, if they're interested in it, they can go to our party tent and find out more information. But really, it's just a great hands-on experience. And end of the day, it should be fun.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
I loved it. Thanks.
The Dream Home experience is filled with lots of gadgets to touch and play with. But in the true tradition of Disney storytelling, park guests also get to interact with the residents of the home, the fictional Elias family. I stopped by 360 Tomorrowland Way to catch up with Mr. Elias and find out what he thinks about his high-tech home and why he's got so many guests over.
Well, I'm joined now by Mr. Elias, and what is it like to have all these people in your home?
It's crazy. this is nuts. We just finished our remodel, and now all of a sudden we've let all these people in, and it's wonderful. I love throwing a great party, so this is really cool.
Well, now, I know that this is your everyday home, but as the people are kind of wandering around, I hear lots of oohs and ahs. There's some fancy technology here.
There's some really cool stuff here. The folks at HP, Microsoft, and Lifeware, not to mention the beautiful home that Taylor Morrison built for us, they've really done a great job making our house just top of the line. It's wonderful.
Well, tell me a little bit about some of these tables. I noticed that people are moving things around, and it's kind of like a video screen.
Oh, you're talking about the service tables. The service tables are great. They enable us to, you can take your iPad phone, put it down on the screen, kind of shake it around a little bit, and all the photos from your phone will spill out onto the table. Then you can stack them, move them around, enlarge them. You can even move them to other phones or put them into a Windows picture gallery up on the walls.
Well, now, I also noticed you were showing some people a fancy feature in your daughter's room with the mirror.
Oh, my daughter's magic mirror. She really loves that. What we've done is taken all of her clothing, scanned it into the computer system, so now when she goes to get dressed in the morning, she doesn't have to pull everything out of the closet. She could just go choose from the dresses that are available and have them morph to her body. And it'll work for anyone, any member of the Elias family.
Well, now, also, as everybody kind of wanders around, I mean, obviously, they are stunned by some of this technology, but it's kind of everyday stuff for you. What's the thing that you're most impressed by?
You know what? I love my 100-inch big screen in the family room. It's really cool.
Now, tell me a little bit about the piano that we see behind us.
The Yamaha Disclavier piano is amazing. This thing, you can have, Robbie is able to have a piano lesson, and his piano teacher's in New York.
How does that happen?
And it happens all over a webcam. And when his piano teacher plays, Robbie can see the keys on the board, on the keyboard, play. We could go one step further. If somebody, some great artist like an Elton John or someone like that, is having a concert someplace, we can get web access to that concert. And through the internet, Elton John can be playing our piano. And then we can watch the concert on the internet on one of our HP big screens.
That's amazing.
Also, when we sit down at the piano, we can record performances. So when Robbie records what he's doing for his next recital, we can have a live recording of that the piano can play over and over.
Well, perfect. Well, I'll let you get back to your guests.
That's great. Thanks.
Class dismissed. And a great big beautiful tomorrow. Because tomorrow's happening today.
Finally, over the years, we have covered spectacular event premieres for new attractions here at the Disneyland Resort. But have you ever wondered what it's like for the media who come from all over the world to cover these events? For journalists, it's not all fun and games. There are lots of interviews to do and deadlines to meet. We thought it might be interesting to talk with one of the reporters who was at the recent grand opening media event for Toy Story Mania and Innovation's Dream Home. Arthur Levine is a longtime theme park columnist for About.com and has written about Disney parks for many years.
Now, I'm joined now by Arthur Levine. And Arthur, what is it you do?
Well, I'm the theme parks guide at About.com. And at my site, which is themeparks.about.com, people can come and get information about the Disney parks and about theme parks, water parks all over the country, all over the world, actually, for that matter.
Well, we're actually sitting here in a room. We've kind of gone off in the corner at one of these press events. And I'm kind of curious, from your point of view, what is your responsibilities? What is your goal in covering an event like this?
Well, my goal is to try to experience the new attractions, the new events, the new shows, anything that's happening at the park so that I can go back to my readers, go back to my users, and let them know what they can expect when they plan their vacations to the park.
Well, now, this morning we had a big kickoff for the new attraction, Toy Story Mania. And when you attend something like that, do you just sit in the audience and kind of soak it all in? Are you taking notes the whole time? I mean, how does it work for you?
Well, in terms of the opening ceremony, I'm pretty much just letting it wash over me and get caught up in the pomp and circumstance of it. And it was a wonderful, wonderful opening event. What I'm really more interested in terms of what I'm going to be taking notes on is, in this case, the Toy Story Mania attraction itself. And I'll be doing a ride review. I'll be giving it a rating and providing some of the details about the attraction so that, again, when users plan their vacations, they'll have an idea of what to expect when they get here.
Well, now, when you come to something like this, do you kind of have a story idea in your mind, or does some of it just kind of develop along the way while you're here?
I'd say both. I mean, obviously, for this event, I'm coming to cover Toy Story Mania. That's obviously the big news, the big attraction here. But often I will kind of bump into people or story ideas will come my way. And so that's what's great about these events as well.
What do you think of the attraction so far?
I think it's great, but one of the downsides of it, if there's a downside, is that it's absolutely addictive, and my wrist is killing me today. We have these spring action shooters, and especially there's that lightning round at the end where you have to really move your wrist really quickly.
Well, I've learned there's a few tricks to the whole thing. So, well, thanks so much for letting me kind of turn the mic on you and find out what you were doing here today.
It's my pleasure, Michael.
As we discussed earlier in the show, there is a lot to do, see, and experience at the Innoventions Dream Home. But for those of you that like to learn those extra little details, did you know? Elias, the name of the family, was Walt Disney's middle name. The Dream Home desk chair is a recreation of the one Walt used when creating Mickey Mouse, Snow White, and other classic animated characters. And there are three scents you smell in the Dream Home: gardenia, pumpkin pie, and pizza. Well, that's going to do it for this edition. If you enjoyed the show, please feel free to share it with a friend. And remember, we have both audio and video podcasts available at disneyland.com/podcast or in the iTunes podcast directory, where we also always appreciate feedback. While you're there, be sure to check out the newest video podcast. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Gohagan. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Disneyland Resort Podcast. And don't forget to join us next month as we continue to celebrate the power of dreams during Disney's Year of a Million Dreams.